Are your kids having meetings like on Zoom and stuff?
No, they each got their Chromebook, and then the teacher gives them things to do. And then I say, "Have you done them?" And then they say, "Yeah." And then when I look, sure enough, they haven't. They forgot the one thing or didn't submit that other thing. And I'm like, "How? What?" And then they're like, "Mom," they get mad at me because I don't know like what their teacher's talking about. Like, they all have like circle time and this and that and Pearson math and Planky flu flow. And I'm like, I don't know what that means. And so they're like, "Oh, Mom, ugh, you're so old.
So boring.
I know, guys, figure it out."
Every time my kids get a video message from their teacher, I start crying and I have to leave the room.
Why?
Because it's so sweet and they all really miss each other. And they all got on a call Friday and they were singing their Friday song. I had to leave the room. They were talking about, like, what are they gonna do? There's some song like, what are we gonna do this weekend? And they do like a clap and a boom chicka clap. And
Yeah.
everybody goes around the room and Owen looks at me and he's like, oh my God, what are we gonna do this weekend? And I was like, we'll drive through Chick-fil-A. Goodbye, I gotta go cry.
That's the dumbest song ever now. What are you gonna do? This is like nothing. What are you gonna do? Nothing.
Pajamas.
Welcome back, friends. I'm Porter Thomas. My mom is Emily Thomas. You're listening to the Struggling Well podcast.
Nope, we changed the name.
Mom Struggling Well podcast. The podcast that helps you love your actual life so you don't need to run away from home. We believe perfection is nonsense and peace is a perspective shift away.
Do you want to run away from home ever?
No.
Whatever. Do you know that I want to run away sometimes?
No.
I totally do.
Is that all?
That's all. Bye.
Bye.
Okay, so at the top of the show, you heard my sister, and she is crying about circle time and the Friday, what are you going to do this weekend song. I have been kind of easily frustrated and frustrated with my people at work. I don't know. So just trying to peel back the curtain and let you know you're not by yourself and everybody's handling this their own special way. I'm eating a lot of toast and sleeping a lot and being mad at work. And Katie is crying about the second grade. So anyway, yes, weird times. Weird times, friends. If you want to hear more Patreon goodness, if you want extra content, go to patreon.com/momstrugglingwell and you'll get some extra shows and a Facebook group. I also wanted to welcome the newest Patreon Strugs this week. We have an Emily, who I'm super pumped to have you here, Emily. We have a Colleen, a Marissa, and a Crystal. Thank you, ladies, for joining. We're so glad to have you. Make sure that you get in the Facebook group and introduce yourself so we can all get to know you. All right, ladies, so this week we are talking to Courtney DeFeo, and she is an author. She's very, very real. I like her a whole lot. I want to tell you this show was recorded couple weeks ago before we were all sheltering in place. It was all just kind of starting to happen, this virus business. But we talk about like not living near your family when that's really, really hard and you wish you could live close to your people. We talk about wellness in general as we age and how sometimes it doesn't seem like anything we do is going to make a difference. So Courtney will talk about her journey with that. We also talk about what it's like raising tween girls because it's a whole thing. All right, I'm going to go ahead and let us get started on my chat with Courtney. Good morning, Courtney. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. I've had a little bit of a headache, actually, from crying so hard yesterday over a few things. So I'm good. I feel a little hungover emotionally, but I'm good.
Bless you.
I'm glad to see you.
Oh, my gosh. I'm sorry. Life is so real.
Oh, my word. It is. And it takes you. And I'm even doing that book, Jenny Allen's book, that's like, Get Out of Your Head. So I feel like I'm like, I was ready for the next like blow and I wasn't going to like emotionally go down. And so then I called my best friend last night. She was like, no spiraling. We just read about how we're not going to spiral.
Too late.
I was like, crap. But other than that, I'm great.
good. Okay, so you have two girls.
I do. They're 5th and 7th, so 10 and 13. So we're in the heat of the good stuff, but they're great. You know, I think people give this age a bad rap, and they're so fun. You know, they can bathe themselves, and they can,
so nice.
You know, they have a lot of fun things. You can go get a pedi and a mani with them, and they're really fun. But there's some drama. There's some emotions. So.
For sure. Yes. And you have a husband, and you live in Dallas.
We do. Yeah. We're not from here, but he got recruited by American Airlines, and we live here, and we fly a lot, which is a great perk.
Yeah. Is he a pilot or what does he do?
He's not. He heads up the communications department. So he gets 30,000 complaints every week. Can you imagine his phone? He's got a big team, about 200 people that manage all the chaos.
30,000 complaints.
Yeah. And it's an industry that's just ever changing. So like, if you can imagine the hub, like it's here in Dallas. So just one bad weather day starts a domino effect of the whole country and the world, really. So, and you know, there's humans. It's just like, it's a great thing for our faith to go like, okay, there's humans running an airline with humans running the ticket agent. Then humans get on the plane and everybody bumps into each other with real issues and it explodes every day.
Every day. My goodness.
Yeah.
Do the people who answer the phone have some kind of mental health help?
They should. That's a good question. They are special people for sure because they get just beat. Yeah.
I just wonder how they manage that. A friend of mine just got a job at 911 and I was like, you tell me that they help you as a person.
That's a good question. I'll ask him. I know that they have obviously a serious hiring process to who gets that job for sure. And he's a special person. Like he comes home and he's able to check it and he's able to meet with the national safety people about the coronavirus and go to the White House. And then he's here playing with our girls, you know, on the next minute.
Gosh.
So he's a special dude. So I'm grateful.
Yeah. Okay. So tell me about the coronavirus. What's the good word?
Well, I'm like, what can I say? I don't, I would say just trust that there's a lot of really smart people doing everything they can. So trust the resources we have in place that, the airline feels like you're not safe to go, they will not fly you there. You know, if the government feels like, you know, CDC is a good thing to look at, the airlines, you know, they're not going to fly you into a place. And I was reading last night, you know, wash your hands and take vitamin C. You know, we take a few things and we, you know, like we read the news and we freak out. But, you know, they'll start closing countries like they closed travel to China when it was not safe. And they'll close travel to countries when they don't feel like it's an okay place to go. So, you know, just trust the process and try not to panic, but it's hard to know what's going to happen. So
yeah, it's very interesting. As a nurse, I really am not. I'm not concerned. I'm not personally worried, but I know a lot of people are worried. So I just thought.
Yeah, and I obviously my husband would kill me because it's like I can't speak on behalf of the company or the virus, but I'm just speaking on what I'm reading and we travel a lot as a family, so I'm asking him what we should do, and we're having to make some tough choices. We've got 3 international trips coming up, and we're doing our own research as a family, and it's less about will we get the virus, and it's more about do you get over there, and then, you know, and then the pilots decide they're not going to fly and that kind of thing. So it's like, you know, I think you got to decide. For me, it's perspective. It's like I was just with a widow yesterday in Atlanta who's lost her husband, and she's raising her kids, and it's like, okay, am I cranky about my travel and not getting to go on my spring break trip? Or, you know, you just start weighing what's really important in life. It's like, is this really messing up my trip, you know? Or is like, am I getting all out of sorts? Or like, wow, she's been walking the last 6 years without her husband, and that's really a lot harder road than my spring break trip getting jacked up. So I try to just keep it in check what's really important.
So. Absolutely. Oh my goodness. Anyway, so okay. Coronavirus check. We've talked about that. I want to tell you about a natural product that gets a lot of attention in my house. It's called Beekeepers Naturals. It's a company that's on a mission to reinvent your medicine cabinet. They're replacing your conventional medicine cabinet staples with clean, natural remedies that actually work, like propolis throat spray. There's 3 ingredients in this throat spray. Bee propolis, which is a germ fighter, has a lot of antioxidants. The spray is your daily dose of defense when it comes to supporting your immune system, soothing a scratchy throat, and supporting a speedy recovery. My kids love it too. My daughter reminds me every day when we take our vitamins that it's time for the spray. Now you can give your medicine cabinet an upgrade with Beekeepers Naturals. To save 15% on your first order, go to beekeepersnaturals.com/MSW and enter the code MSW at checkout. I really love this stuff. I think you will too. I don't know about you, but I run cold. And as a person who's easily annoyed, I don't like the extra stimulation of being super cold, like on an airplane, sitting in an air-conditioned office, or when I'm trying to enjoy a meal. I don't like it. I recently tried Ember Wave. It's the first bracelet that helps you feel colder or warmer at the press of a button. You guys, this thing is so cool. Ember's lab's mission is to bring thermal wellness to the world. Ember Wave was invented by three MIT scientists who are passionate about using temperatures to help every person feel better physically and emotionally. It's not just about feeling relief from undesirable temperatures. Ember's thermal waveforms can also help reduce stress and improve sleep because they activate interoceptive regions in your mind. I know that's a big word, but these regions control social emotion and pleasure. And if that doesn't blow your mind, I don't even know what will. So I keep my Ember Wave bracelet on me all the time. It's always in my car in case I go into a restaurant that's really cold. I can fix that business in a second. So to receive $50 off your order, head to emberwave.com/MSW. Again, that's emberwave.com/MSW to get 50% off your order. So you live far away from your family, and I think that that is something that a lot of women don't have the luxury of family nearby.
Yeah.
So what's that been like, and what kind of works for you?
Yeah, it's funny. Last night, it comes up at the strangest time. We had a interesting just friend bump with one of my girls, and that goat, it's hidden down in places where that, if I get sad for one of my kids or I get sad, it pricks out a piece of me that's like, oh my gosh, I'm homesick. Like when you struggle with something, you want your people, you want your safe people, you want your mom. It's like being a little kid going like, I want to go home. It's going to make me cry. So I think that we have made decisions as a family along. And I mean, me, and I've had to say family is me and Ron and the girls, what's best for us. And I am really tight with my extended family, really super close with my mom, really super close with my siblings and all the cousins. And so he's had to go like, babe, it's us. Like, and so every time I grew up in Atlanta, super close family, and he's been getting incredible opportunities. And so as a believer, I've had to go, do I really mean this? Like, am I leaving and cleaving? Am I with him?
Yeah.
And God's really pressed me to go through this journey. And it's been hard. The first time we moved to Orlando and it felt like God was calling me to like Ethiopia. And I was like, it's 8 hours away. And I was like, I was a mess. And that first time was hard and it felt like forever because I was used to doing family where like every day I could say, Mom, meet us at the mall. And I look back with gratitude going, I had them when my kids were babies, when I was like melting down, you know, I can't take another day of these babies and my mom could come over and take them and I could get a nap. So I look back with gratitude to say I did have them in some really challenging, physically hard mom years. And so that, and my in-laws, they were right there. So we moved and we prayed about it. And it wasn't like he forced me. We made the decision together. So I have to, he reminds me of that. Like, I didn't drag you. We did pray together.
Yeah. But just because you know it's right doesn't mean it's not going to be hard.
That's right. Yeah. And then he got recruited again, and we prayed again. I was like, Dallas is further, and we prayed, and it was the right choice. And now we can fly anywhere we want, which is great, but it still makes it hard. You know, there's moments where you're like, I just want to go over and see my sister. Like, she had a triathlon accident this last year and bonked her head and was really, really in bad shape. And those are the moments you're like, I want to be the one that's at the hospital with my sister. Like, I want to, and I can take a flight, but that's 2 hours, you know? And so it's been hard. And so I think we look at, we really like our family. Some people are like, oh, this is great. You want distance from your family?
Yeah.
But I really like them. And so it's been a faith journey. And I was looking up that verse last night, just kind of crying over it. You're like, Lord, you know my desires. Like, why, if you know my desires, why am I still here? And but I think he knows what's better for me. Like, is it better for me to be here supporting my husband? And he knows a better plan. Like, would I get back to Atlanta and it wouldn't be all that I thought it was? are my kids in the best school the roads are supposed to be? Is this the best plan for my husband? Is this his best career? And I'm just only looking at the negative and not really like literally blooming where I'm planted and being cranky about it. So, you know, I'm still on a journey of like kind of holding on of just control of like, I want over there. I went back with my family. So I haven't figured it out, but I know there's moms out there or women out there that are listening that know that ache of like, it would just be better if I was back in that town. And God's not going to, I don't think, give us everything we want because he knows what we need most, you know?
Yeah, that's good. Thank you for sharing that. I know I spent several years in a different country because my husband wanted to be there and I didn't want to be there. So it's not always fun.
It's not fun. And I think that it can be a real big strain on your marriage. I mean, I've had some guttural tears with him to say, like, you're not hearing me. It's not that I don't want to support you. You know, it's not that I don't want to. And I don't, it's like, you're not hearing what I want for our family. And he wants the best for our family too. He's saying, I don't have a job. Like, I'm trying to provide. And so I think that it's really some heartfelt, hard conversations as a husband and wife to say, like, we both are for each other. We're just wanting different things. And so he's like, well, you go, I'll commute. And I'm like, that's not right. You know, like,
yeah,
I wouldn't be a family if I lived there and then you flew back here every weekend. The kids would just miss their dad. So, but I don't want resentment to build. And I think that's something that I would encourage anybody. We've done counseling and for everybody to go to counseling and go, don't let it go too far without saying those things, because you don't want to get 10 years down the road and say, well, I was here, but I was mad at you the whole time.
Yeah.
You know, or he moves and then he's resentful because he gave up a tremendous opportunity for himself. But it's more like he's not trying to get rich. He's thinking, I got to send him to college. I've got to pay for your TJ Maxx bills. I've got to, he's got this weight on him all the time.
Yes.
But I don't think about, he's always got this provider heaviness on him for the long haul that I don't think about ever.
Yeah. Like, that's so good. Yeah, all we see is I move here because of you. We don't realize, yeah, gosh.
Yeah, so I would just say if you're feeling that way, be honest, but try to see their perspective and even get counseling to say don't let it, because frustration builds to resentment, builds to like a serious block and wedge that could be hard to get past, you know, and we're not there, but we're frustrated.
Yeah.
And he hates to see me cry. He hates seeing me miss my family, so.
Certainly. You know. Well, I'm sorry you're struggling.
Yeah, but there's good stuff. There's a lot of good people here and great church. You know, if I make the list today, it would be like, why the heck are you sad? It's a great place. And he's brought me even yesterday, two good friends that I just met at a field trip that I was like, thank you, Lord. On the day that I had a hard day, I found two new friends that I can totally see hanging out with. And I texted them last night and was like, thank you. Like, you're such a bright spot to say, like, okay, I think they're gonna be my friends.
Look at that. Oh, I love that. He is so good to us to give us things that we didn't even know we needed.
That's right.
That's good. And the fact that you can fly for free.
I mean, ridiculous. He's like, stop whining. Yeah. It's a really great perk, especially for what I do. I mean, I can take my girls on, you know, I just did a contest on my podcast for a thing with groups of girls. And I said, you know what, let's just do a contest for people that are doing my study that I'll just come visit one of the groups. And it's so sweet. I just got a one from San Diego, a mother-daughter group. And they're like, please, oh my gosh, the girls would flip out. And so the fact that I could just do that, just show up at one of the mother-daughter groups and bring my girls and we could just show up and, you know, sneak into their thing would just be so delightful. So that's a really fun perk of his job that we get to do that. So
yes, that is so neat. So neat. Well, you also said, and I want to talk about the devotional, but you had mentioned that your health and weight gain or stuff, all that is just such a real thing for moms. And that just sometimes you just don't feel well.
Yeah, totally. I was like, when you said what we're going to be talking about today, I was like, oh man, I really did tell you all my stuff. It's going to be a nice little counseling session for us today. But I know I'm not alone. I think that you get to, I'm 43, I think. I always get confused. These ages are really like smushy. I'm like, after 40, you start getting, I don't know how old you are.
Yes, no, I just turned 40.
okay, so after this, it starts getting really confusing. You're like 40-ish. Like, I know I'm not 50. I'm just somewhere between there, but 43, I think. So your metabolism slows down, but also all of a sudden those habits that you had for like a long time that just kept you going, just all of a sudden, like, I remember if I had a wedding or something to go to, I'd be like, okay, well, I'll just like cut out the bread for 2 days and I'll be in that dress or whatever. And you're like, that doesn't work anymore.
It doesn't work.
You eat the cheeseburger, you're like, I think I gained 5 pounds last night. Like, it's like, it's just so fast. And so I do not believe that our weight or our looks is our identity at all. Like, I think that my worth is like secure in who I am as a person. I believe that I have some scripture cards. So I'm like, people look at the outward appearance. The Lord looks at the heart. Like, I know that who I am is secure in my gifts and who God made me to be, but I know that I don't feel well. And so as I raise 2 girls, I want it to be about how they feel and about their energy to play out what God's called them to do. And so as I look at even like today, waking up with this kind of headache, that was an emotional headache, but I do think I have a long history of migraines that is complicated because it's a part family related. Every woman in my family's had this history of headaches, but I do know there's factors that they get worse. When I travel too much or when I, sometimes when I speak, if I get down, I'll have one after I speak. So some of it's like, is this warfare? Is this stress related? I can feel the tension. When I do too much, which I do a lot of things, I'm noticing that my busyness of like, I'll just grab something quick. I'll just go to the drive-thru. I'll just, take care of everybody else. So I've been doing the Enneagram work going like, oh, I'm definitely.
Are you a 2?
I think I'm a 2 with a wing 3 or a 3 with a wing 2. I'm still debating, but I definitely resonate really well with the 2 that like, I would just rather take care of everybody else. And then I'll get to me, which means like, I'm not thinking about what I'm eating. Like right now, here's a Coca-Cola, you know, cause I'm like, I got up about 5 minutes ago to come do this. So that's all adding up in a place that like it's screeching to a halt. And then I lost my friend Winter Pitts, who we had a podcast together. Oh. And I was like, okay, she just died. Like she just was gone as a mom of 4 girls. And hers was a heart condition that she had that just no one could have seen it coming, but it got my attention in a way that I was like, this is serious. We have to take this stuff seriously. And so I've started the journey, but frankly, it's overwhelming to go like, God has more for me. Like this doesn't have to be. And I know some people out there probably have chronic pain. They either have struggle with weight or they have things that feel, you know, autoimmune. There's so many things that are so complicated that it feels like, how do I even to start to take the layers off? And it's like, or even like me, like I was with my friend at the widow and she's like, I said something about medication and she said, you're on medication? I said, yeah, I started like Lexapro or something when Larson was born for the headaches. Cause they were like, you've got to get this, like the stress and the crying under control. And it's all tangled. Like you go to another doctor and they're like, oh, you need more of this one. You need more of this one. And being able to untangle all those without crashing is like,
it's so complicated. Yes.
I know you're like, this is not all I needed, but I just think there's people out there that are like in the tangled web that I'm in. And you're like, I don't even know where to begin. Cause they're like, just drink some water. You need to do a juice cleanse. And I just want to like lift the finger. It's like, I'm like, really? I know that's not biblical, but I'm like, seriously, like it's more than a cup of water over here. Like I've got, like, I need to go to a camp.
Yeah.
For, like 6 months, like a fat camp to like a health, like someone to help me know where to even begin. So please, by the way, please don't send me like all your programs. If I ever talk about this, I get like everybody's like favorite, like program.
Yes.
And no juices and pills and shakes. Like I love it, but I've tried them all. Like I just.
Yeah. No, it is complicated. I work at a place where when people come in, sometimes they're on 25 different meds.
Yeah, I'm not on 25. It's more like 2, but I think that it's still like, and if I go to the doctor, like a regular doctor, they're like, well, let's just add this. And I'm like, no, I don't want to add. So I'm going to a functional medicine doctor next week to try, you know, a more healthy approach. And yeah, it's interesting, but I just think it can be emotionally. And I know that like the emotions is so tied to it to go like, I don't know where people are spiritually, but there's a lot of talk about inner healing to say like, what is the emotion behind each of your illnesses? You know, like to say, if we were healed from this, would the headaches go away? Or if you're dealing with a stomach battle, there's a lot of like talking that in our faith world, which is really interesting to go like, I mean, we know like stress causes stomach aches, stress causes headaches, and stress causes different diseases. And so I think looking at the whole picture to not go down a road of shame to say like, I did this to myself, but what behaviors of mine am I continuing to do that are causing that? And then to try to bring back joy, like where has God gifted me to say I can continue in my work in a way that causes fun and that doesn't cause more health problems? So
yeah,
pray for me.
Getting good rest is so in right now. Real restorative sleep is crucial to our overall health. Yoga Sleep has been making products for sleep for more than 50 years. They invented the Dome, which is the very first white noise machine. They know how to make trusted products that work. White noise is a natural approach to better sleep and relaxation. I know when I wake up from a solid 6 to 8 hours of sleep, I am a lot nicer person. I'm a better mom, a better wife, and a lot of us are home more now than ever, so it's a great time to invest in your sleep game. Yoga Sleep's products are backed by a 101-night promise, meaning that you can try them risk-free. I know I've mentioned before that my husband's snoring causes a bit of a race when it comes to falling asleep. I just try to hurry up and get to sleep sooner, and trying to hurry up and go to sleep doesn't ever really work well. But this Dome noise machine has cut that right out. The snoring is not an issue for me anymore. So go to yogasleep.com/MSW to save an exclusive 20% off a sound machine for natural sleep for the whole family. That's yogasleep.com/MSW to get 20% off. yogasleep.com/MSW. So I'm hearing from some of you that you're feeling a little bit stressed with all the changes to your schedules, maybe scrolling the news a bit too much. I know that I've been guilty of that. One way to stop checking social media is to pop open the Abide app. Abide is the number one Christian meditation app out there, and its users are reporting less stress, lower anxiety, and better sleep. Start your day with Abide's daily meditation. For a limited time, our listeners are going to get 25% off of a premium subscription when you visit abide.co/MSW. These meditations are based on biblical scripture, and you can fit it into your new schedule. You could have a refreshing break from all that homeschooling. Don't we all need that refreshing break, friends? Yes, we do. Abide covers topics like overcoming anxiety, managing stress, addiction, and recovery. Plus, they have a bedtime story section that you can listen to with your kids. Join the millions of people using Abide. Get started now with 25% off of a premium subscription by downloading the Abide app at abide.co/MSW. You'll get additional stories and meditations, premium music, soothing sounds, and more. Support the Mom Struggling Well podcast and get 25% off by going to abide.co/MSW. That's abide.co/MSW to download the Abide app and get 25% off your premium subscription. You have a book, In This House We Will Giggle, right?
Yeah.
I've read it. It's really good. And because joy is not typically, I mean, I make a lot of jokes, but it doesn't mean I'm necessarily happy. You know what I'm saying? And I think it would make sense that this is a journey that you're struggling through.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
I want to have the journey of how to be rich and famous and beautiful. Like, that is something I'd love to struggle through. And it's not.
I know, because I think when I'm at my best and I'm like I said before, you're like, which is it? Like, this is just a journey of mine, or which is, I'm like, or Satan's just a real jerk. He's like, oh, perfect. Let me just take her down in the area that she loves. Let me just silence her for a little while. But when I'm healthy, like, I'm having the time of my life. Like, I'm enjoying my kids and I'm creating joy in the circles that I'm in. And so he'd love for me to stay on the couch because I'm a force when I get out there. I'm a force when I speak. And I create, you know, fun, and I create programs, and I create ideas that create other people have a ripple effect that make people go like, Jesus wasn't meant to be this boring thing. It's like, let's get out there and go serve them together. Let's get out there and enjoy our families. And so I think that part of it's my own doing, and I don't want to put it all on warfare, because some of it's my own creation that's coming alive at 40 to go like, that is now showing you how that pattern of behavior is not working for you. Like, it's time to like dive out, and it's real, you know, and it's like showing me this, like I said, I have two daughters that like, I've got to kind of change the ship. What's been going one way for a long time. And that's what it feels like. It's like a ship going one way, and you're like, we're trying to turn. And it's like, crap, this is hard. This isn't like a speedboat. It's like, oh, quick, we'll just drink some water, have a couple of juice, and we're on our way to the next stop. It's like, no, this is like moving a long pattern of behavior that's hard to shift.
And so you don't even want to, like, I give it a solid 3 days. And if I don't see complete transformation.
Totally. And there's a million books out there, you know, and there's, and I think that what I love, and I've said Jenny Allen's name before, is that she gets to the root, you know, and it's like, that's why all the programs frustrate me, because I'm like, yes, I can try every diet known to man, but if I don't get beneath it to my heart and beneath it, it's almost like dealing with a drug addict. It's like, the drug addict's never going to change unless they're saying, like, I am ready and I am the problem, and they're not willing to, like, shift.
Yeah.
It's not going to work.
I work with eating disorders and of all types. And so we have bingers, we have restrictors, all the things, and they can all come together and have a conversation that matters, because it is not about the food or the behaviors. It's always about the heart.
And I think that's why when Lisa Turkhurst is a buddy of mine, and that Made to Crave book was her book that went New York Times bestseller. And she said, one of her publishers said, like, this is not going to sell that many. And she said, yes, it will. You do not know how many women are struggling with this. They're like, is this really a spiritual issue? She's like, heck yes, this is a spiritual issue. Like, I can't tell you the number of women that think about this all day long, because I battle with it because I'm like, I am not worried about what I look like. Like, I feel pretty cute. Like, I don't care what I am. Like, I'm pretty. Like, I'm like, I'll go out tomorrow and be like, man, I'm looking good. Like, it is not about, like, I will tell my girls right now, I do not care what weight you are. You are gorgeous and you are worthy. And like, for heaven's sakes, I wrote a book on treasure. Like, their worth is not tied to their body and what jean size they are. I do not care what jean size I wear. It is more of like, my health and how I feel and making the wise choices for the long haul. Like, watching Winter Died has wrecked me to go, like, I want to be there. And again, hers was a totally different circumstance. She was actually super healthy. She was like essential oil and it up and like eating great. Like, it was a totally different scenario than me, but it really did stop me to go, like, you know, I want to be there for the long haul, and I don't want something to come in my track and go, Mom, why were you eating Chick-fil-A? You know, and I love Chick-fil-A, but why were you in the driver's seat 2 days a week, or never exercising, or like continuing to do things that, you know, would take you from us? And so I do know what it does to our mood, though. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, I think it can make us miss out on things with our families. It can make us not go on the beach trip. It can make us not participate in stuff because we're feeling so ugly about ourselves. And I hate it. I hate what it does to us as women. It makes me really mad, if I'm honest.
So what's your next thing you're going to do that you think is going to get you pointed in the right direction?
I am hopeful for this medicine or functional medicine doctor. I'm hopeful that I will listen to what he says and stick to it longer than 3 days, like you said. Like, listen to what he says and give it a shot longer than, and maybe have someone hold me accountable to, like, okay, what did he say? Okay, now do it. You keep doing it and take it in baby steps. Because I think when someone presents me with like a huge long plan, it's like, you have to change these 94 things. That gets overwhelming. I think I'm going to tell him that, like, if you give me too many things, I won't do it. Like, so I need you to tell me, like, this next month, 2 things to do. Okay. And then I'll come back 2 months. And if he's not that guy, then I need to find somebody else. Because if he's like, I need you to eat kale and water and then take 97 minerals and vitamins, I'll be like, great.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. So I need someone that will hold me accountable and that will take it in baby steps and stay hopeful and positive and not shaming. Because I've been to some people that were like, looked at me like I was disgusting. And I'm like, you're not helpful to me. You're not kind, because some of it's on me, but some of it's not. So
yes. Well, I hope that goes so well for you.
Yeah. Thanks. Thanks.
So let's talk about raising girls now that they are tweens. I have a tween. Heaven help us all.
It actually is
great. It, like you said, all the things you're saying are so true. They're funny. You know, my daughter, we're not in a place where she has a phone. We tried it. It didn't work well. But she sends me Google documents to my email every day.
Yes.
And so that's how she's 11. But she... I don't know. We have so much fun writing in our Google Doc during the day while she's in school.
That's awesome.
I only hope she's not writing other people who I don't know who they are. but it's fine.
Yeah, they're good stuff. I think that we were in a sweet spot when they were like 8 and 10. My husband's like, this is the greatest, like whatever this is. And then it shifted a little bit. And then we're like, oh, Lord, this is what people talk about. So I do think I've never enjoyed the people that come up to you and are like, you just wait. Or, you know, I'm like, well, that's helpful, you know?
Yeah.
So I do have some mentors in my life that are like, no, it is good stuff. Like each phase, like I've loved every phase. They've all had challenges. You know, we know that the younger years were physically challenging. These are no joke, emotionally challenging. And I'm a super sensitive, tender human being. And so when they're in emotional stages and emotional moments, like last night, I go down and I know all the books, I know all the tips to not do it, but I'm like, man, this wrecks my heart because I feel big. And I, for that reason, I write things and I do things about the world because I see them, I feel them, and I go after it. And so that with the negative side of that, I feel big. It breaks my heart when they're hurting. So I have to manage that a lot bit.
What helps you not kind of be too, go down with
that? Yeah, I'm still learning. I mean, I've gone down several times. I mean, I'm going to have to literally put myself in timeout. So, and I wrote a chapter in my book about emotions and to go like, am I exploding or thinking out of the emotion? Have I stepping back? And so part of the steps that I'm trying to teach the girls is to go like, are we thinking out of our emotions? Are you stopping? Are you breathing? Are you walking away? And not, and like literally hands off the phone, literally don't send the text, literally don't say the thing, like walk away. Because if you walk away for a second, you're like, you don't want to regret that. And I've had many moments of regrets to go, I sent that text, or I said that thing to that mom, or I said that thing to my child. And those regrets are really embarrassing. You're like, I would have not said that, or I would have not engaged in that if I had just taken just a minute to walk away and literally breathe. Because breathing, Sissy Goff, my counseling friends, is like, breathing literally changes your brain. Like it literally does something for you. And so in the moments that I've had to been able to do that and bring it back and think about it overnight, I'm gone like, oh, this actually isn't a big deal. Oh, they weren't thinking anything about her. Oh, they were just trying to help me. I can see it for what it was versus like in the motion, you're like, yeah, I mean, I turn into like a crazy person. I'm like, they were out to get my daughter. You know, they hate us, you know, whatever. And it's like, my word, where do these stories come from? I'm like should be a novel writer. I'm like, really creative. Like, and so if you're an exploder or an emotional being, I would just encourage anyone just to like practice those kinds of steps of like, what is going to be your thing that makes you step out of the ring for just a second? And even text yourself, email yourself, like explode on yourself, but don't send it to the person.
That's really good. Or write the email out, but don't put the email address on top.
It's so embarrassing.
You know, yes.
I've had to tuck my tail and just go back and be like, I'm such a loser. I'm so sorry. It's awful. So, and I think our kids, it's like, if we're still having trouble with it at 40 something, they're going to have to learn these things too and go, you got to take the time out and teach them. Like for you, it may be running. For me, it may be a bath. It may be praying. It may be listening to music and know that they're in the heat. And I tell the girls, like, you are in, like your body is changing. It's shooting up. It's shooting out. Like you're getting breasts. All these things are happening in your body. But these emotions that are literally surging in your body are normal. You are not weird. The fact that you want to scream into your pillow or punch your sister is very normal. Please don't punch your sister.
Please don't.
But you got to have a process. And so, and then biblically, it's like, there's all kinds of verses, like in your anger, do not sin. There's all these things, but I'm not shame them for that. Be like, okay, that time you probably exploded a little too quick, but remember what we're going to try to work on together. So just say, mom, I need a second, and run upstairs and do your thing, whatever. Or say, hey, can I take a jog? Hey, can I go get in the bath? Like you got to tell us what you need to be able to cool off for a second so that you're not in that rage of emotion, whether it's crying or anger, and then having them identify, you know, kind of what those emotions are. And we have a bunch of adults that are emotionally immature that don't know how to say like, I was really jealous. I know I was screaming, crying, or I was angry, but I was actually really jealous of your friendship, and teaching them how to use other words. Well, I smacked my sister, but I was actually just really hungry. Or, you know, and those emotional charts are so good. You can find them on Sissy's site or even just Google emotional charts. Even use those emojis. It's like, just point to something and just use your words. And so girls are just, we are made, and not shame them too for how they're made. Like God made us really emotional beings for a great reason. We're great moms, we're great friends, we're tender for a reason. But on the weak side, we can over emote. Like, how do we start saying, like, hey mom, I really like yelled at you after school, but I was just really embarrassed about how I'm doing with my grades. And I didn't know how to tell you that I needed help, you know, just start showing them how to use some of those words a little bit more. And it takes a lot of modeling, you know, from our side too.
Well, it's hard when we're like, kind of, I hate the word triggered. I mean, where, yeah, I work in mental health, like, everybody's triggered by everything. It feels a little ridiculous, but when we are ourselves triggered by however they're treating us, to just realize it's not about the granola bar, it's not about the dishes, it's about something else, and getting down to that root is hard.
Well, and imagine, I don't know, are you and your daughter a lot alike, or are you different personalities?
We're very different, and she is, on a spectrum, she's less feeling-y. She's more, yeah. So she's not like your typical girl.
Okay. So I imagine that two very different daughters. It's like, oh, they're different and they're not like me. This is weird. So I think one of the things I would suggest to people too is just getting to start paying attention to who they are, because they're not going to be like you. And like, my oldest daughter is the more of a melancholy personality, and she's not like my younger daughter and I are like sanguines. We're like, everything's a party, let's go, fun, fun, fun. And she's like, I don't want to go. Like, why would we do that? And we'll like be in New York City, and she's like, can I stay in the hotel room? And I'm like, what is your deal, man? And she and I bump heads way more often. So she would be my trigger. Like, I'm like, she just sets me off. And Ron's like, and so my husband pulled me aside and was like, you're not nice to her. Like, you're just quick to be mean to her. And he was right. Like, I have higher expectations on my first kid. She sets me off more. And so I've had to really like study her personality to go like, it's not her, it's her personality. And so how can I be a little more, give her more alone time? She doesn't want to do that. She wants to be in her room alone. And that's not wrong. It's just not what I like to do. I'm like, everybody's a party. Everybody come over. I'm a major extrovert. She's not. And so I think that that's another thing for moms and daughters to start. They're coming into their own and they're like, I don't want to actually be you. And I want to actually dance because you danced. I want to do my own thing. And some of us moms, it's hard when their little mini-me's aren't mini-me's. And
you really kind of assume they will be.
Yeah. And it's like, and some of them bulk up against it in a big way. Like, oh, you wore your hair like that? Perfect. I'll wear the opposite. Like, so it's a little bit humbling. We're like, oh gosh. And so I don't let her be disrespectful, but I just say, okay, all right. You know, that's, I've learned. And I tell her, like, you're the first human I've ever raised. I am figuring this out.
You're new here, but I'm also new at this job.
Yeah. Never gone through this phase before. Like, I'm trying. I'm really trying. And so we're working. And the other day she was pretty ugly to me. And, you know, I tried not to cry, but it really rocked me. I was like, you kind of crossed the line. And so she came in, she wrote me this most tender note. And it was like, mom, I'm really sorry. And I said, it's okay, but sometimes you have to forget, like, I'm your mom and I'm tough, but I'm also like a human being over here. Like, and you were really ugly. And so she was sweet about it. But, man, it's no doozy, but I think that I have to remember sometimes that like, it's not all on me and it feels like that. I tell my husband that too. I'm like, it feels like because they're girls and I'm the mom that all of this is on me. And I need you big time. And I think there's a place where we can say, if you do have a husband, to say like, I need you. Like, I need you to tell, like, even though it feels like the tampons and the body changes and all that are like a very girl thing, I need you to like help me here. I'm feeling like overwhelmed with the weight of raising these girls, and forget we have Jesus too, to go like, I feel at my wit's end. Like, I have no other words. Like, and trust that he does have them, that like, we can lay down at the end of the day and go, Lord, I got nothing else. And you can take over and do something that I don't imagine, and something will happen. You're like, ah, there is a God. He brought them a friend. He's handled that. He brought them a verse, or he did something that I wasn't able to finagle. Cause that's where middle school, we start losing our grip on them. They start slipping away and you're like, oh gosh, I can't manufacture these relationships. I can't control. They start going out of the nest more.
Yes. Yes. And it's, wow. There's so much going on in their heads and our heads, so much mm-hmm. bouncing off and reacting that is not even always, mostly mm-hmm. not based in reality a lot of times.
Okay, let me say this. Okay, so as I struggle with all those things, and we don't have to talk about the book, but here's this power I think that we need to remember. We should not have to do this alone. And I find encouragement getting around other moms with girls. And so I do that. And so that's why I think Treasure came to life. The most recent thing I did is because I was like, I've got to get these girls in circles. And I got to get these moms in circles saying, because I think our girls think they're the only one at the lunchroom table that doesn't get invited. They're the only one that thinks that their body is dumb. They're the only one that's never going to have a phone. Like, they just think that they're in this solo world. It's like, you are all struggling with the very same thing. You just don't talk about it. Like, they're just not, they're not spewing their stuff like we do. Like, we're old enough to be like, oh, you think you're fat? Me, I think you're fat. Like, they don't do that. And so I was like, if they'll just get in the same room and realize that they literally do that. And so
that's so good. I guess I didn't realize they don't share all that stuff.
No, they don't do it. They're too like scared to be vulnerable. So they're like, they'll one up each other. Like, oh, you're going there on spring break. I'm going somewhere better. Oh, you do gymnastics. Well, I won they just all day long. And so about first and second grade, they're oblivious. They're like, I love everyone. Everyone's great. I wear my tutu. You wear your tutu. And everything is great. And then about third grade, they start getting a little catty. So I was like, I'm writing something for 9 to 12-year-olds because it starts getting a little wonky. And this is where the girl drama starts. And they just need to be reminded. And so I just felt like super burdened about it and was like, I've got to get something. And moms were messaging me. And so that's when I just was like, I pitched a bunch of stuff to people and they were like, well, you should do something for all women. I'm like, nope, 9 to 12-year-olds. Like, I just like, this window right here is when it gets real, because it's like, they're not teenagers yet. They're starting to wake up that like, oh, it's not all rainbows and glitter. Like, oh my gosh, someone's prettier than me. She's got her house is bigger than mine. Oh my gosh. Like, they're just, I love this spot. Like, I love it and it breaks my heart at the same time. So that's why I've literally gotten fired up about it, just to say, I don't care if I sell 5 or 500, but it was like, it's one of those projects that gets in you that like, I know it's needed and I'm just, will do anything I can to get it out there for a few other moms to.
Well, let me just share. It's called The Treasured Journal and it's a kind of a journaly, well, it's in the title journal, but it's a mother-daughter experience for moms and their tween girls. And there's also there's 6 video sessions.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Meant to be done like in a group of girls.
Yeah. You can do it that way, or you could do it just with your daughter. Like, if she's not into a group, like, you could, because I've had some people email me like, she would never do a group. I'm like, great, just do the journal with her. But the reason I sought out to do it was to be able to play those videos. And then like, I'm a super creative person that comes up with the icebreakers and all the like fun groupy stuff. And so I put all that on the study thing, just so that a leader would be like, I know I'm supposed to do this, but I have no idea how. And it's like, I'll do all the work for you. You just order the pizza and show up. Like, just figure it out. Print all the stuff. I already figured it out. And then the journal is more of like a mom and daughter after the fact. But it's got those 6 topics that we've already talked about. It's got identity and friendship and body and emotions and technology and faith.
It's so, so good. And what I appreciate is that it's not overly girly.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Because I've gotten things from my daughter before for us to do together. And she's like, no, I'm not doing that.
There's
so much pink on there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Everything is not. Yeah, she doesn't like all that stuff. So I appreciate that it's really, I don't know, it's beautifully done, and it would be moms and daughters are like, oh, interested in this. I don't know. I like it. You did a great job. I'd like to get a group of people together to do it. So far, I've done some with my daughter, but I think it'd be good to do with a group of moms.
Yeah, I think that what I've found is that the moms, we all feel, and even me, like, I think that I hope no one thinks that I have this together. Like, I'm doing this with my daughters. Like, I can see the need, but I am learning. Like, I am, every one of these subjects, I am struggling with you guys. And so I wrote it from a place of like, let's work this out together. Like, I'm every week, like last week we did friendships with my oldest daughter. She's 13. And even still, like, I'm still having friendship bumps with my daughters. Like, we are not the experts. I hope you never look at me as like, well, let's follow according to food. No, like, I have a podcast that brings on people older and wiser than me. And I'm just literally on there to learn, to go like, your daughters are 20 and 30. And what can I learn from you? Because I am in the trenches. And
yes. Tell me the name of your podcast.
It's called Treasured. Yeah.
Love it. Same. Okay.
So I just love learning. And it's fun. And it's a tricky place to be as a writer and a creator, because I don't want to hurt my daughters in the process. So I'm trying to be vulnerable, but I don't want to share too much of their story to go like, mom, like, I'm careful to go like, that was really personal to us last night. And you just used it as material and talk. That's really hard. So I'm dancing through that right now to try to figure out how to be open with my listeners and open with you guys, but not, and protect their hearts as well.
Yeah, it's a lot more involved than it used to be.
Yes, for sure. When they were little, it was so easy. I was like, oh, they're two. They can't read. I can just share their dirt all day.
Yeah. Oh, man. Thank you so much for all of your work and for sharing with us today. I really appreciate
it. Oh, you're welcome. Thanks. I appreciate your courage to go this level of struggle, because I think you're right. I think people will relate to where people are hurting far more than their successes. And we're all struggling.
We sure are. If we're breathing, we're struggling.
That's right. That's right. Well, thanks for this time. Appreciate it.
All right. I hope you loved that chat. I really appreciate how transparent and honest she is. So what will your strategy to struggle well be based on what Courtney said? She talked about moving away from her family and how hard that was, but she was supporting her husband. And she said that she was praying to God and saying, Lord, you know my desires, so why am I still here? I think that we can feel that way so many times in our lives. Lord, you know, and you can do anything, so why in the world haven't you? I would encourage you to struggle well this week by keeping on having those conversations with him. He will move and change things for you, or he'll change your heart, both of which are good. Everything he does is good. Maybe you could identify with what she said when she said that wellness feels just too complicated and she doesn't even know, you know, it feels like nothing's going to do anything. Maybe pick one thing this month that would make a difference in your wellness. Don't overwhelm yourself. Just do the one thing, whatever that is. I talked about it, and I'll talk about it next week with my sister. You'll hear that. We've already recorded it, but talking about an app I've loved, and it's free right now for everybody, but the Downward Dog Yoga app, they also have a 7-minute high intensity interval training, and you can pick the levels, you can pick the music in the background, you can pick if you're working your upper body or your lower body or both. But anyway, it's called, I don't know, 7-minute workout, and I liked it. I did it with my husband and my son today, and it was really great. 7 minutes. You can do 7 minutes. Maybe you struggle well this week by remembering that you have an enemy who wants to sideline you. He is in the business of making you fall and be so discouraged that you don't get back up. So sometimes we need to remember that we really do have somebody who's out to get us. Not that we can blame everything on him, because sometimes we make some pretty jacked up choices on our own that have their own negative consequences. So sometimes with our body and our health and our well-being, it's a both and. We have an enemy, and sometimes we are also our enemy with the choices we're making. So what is one thing you can do to move in the right direction this week? For me, it's a 7-minute workout. I'm going to do it every day. I sure am. And next week when you hear from my sister, I tell her that I've done it, but I've only done it once. I've done it more than once. That was recorded in the past. Maybe you have a tween. What a roller coaster. But man, so, so fun. I'm really loving all the neat things that come with having older kiddos. But like Courtney says, maybe you struggle well this week by when they are up to some feelings that don't entirely make sense, or they're trying to do stuff and you really thought they would do a completely different thing because it's logical, but that's not where they're at. Put yourself in timeout. Just give yourself a dadgum break. You don't have to make a comment on every single thing they're doing. I know it's hard. It's painful not to make comments on every move they make, but they don't actually need all your comments, if you can imagine, because I know you know, and I know, I don't need all their comments. So maybe it goes the other way too. And finally, if you do have a tween girl, get this Treasured journal it really is packed with some really good things. A couple weeks ago, when we could have friends with people in real life, I was going to get a group together, but then now we can't. So I'm going to do it with my daughter. And we've been reading through Philippians, but I'm going to add this in since we've got a little extra time. Get this book. It's definitely worth it. Treasured by Courtney DeFeo. All right, friends, I hope you are quarantining well. I love talking to you on Instagram, so find me at Mom Struggling Well. I hope you're seeing some really sweet things come out of this time when nothing is like it normally is. God is definitely up to something. The pastor today said something. He said that you will never want to know God's will more than he wants to share it with you. I love that. So what is God's will for you in this time, in this unknown season? Ask him. He'll tell you. Promise. All right, let me pray for us. Lord, help us to be kind and patient with these wackadoo people that we're living with. Lord, we never realized how irritating they were until just this past month. But guess what? Perhaps, just perhaps, we are equally as irritating. Lord, would you help us to extend grace to them 70 times 7 times? And will you help us to see them with your perspective? Would you help us to have a perspective shift on this just whole daggum situation that we find ourselves in? There is a way to walk through this with peace. There is a way to walk through this and excel still more. There is a way to walk through this and bring you glory. So I pray that you'd help us to find that way. Help us to get out of our own heads and our own fears and our own ruts and our own sin struggles. Help us just to keep our eyes on you so that at the end of this thing, we're different, because we need to be different. We need you. We need to be more like you. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.